So, Lonnie, I'm going to sort of have, I think, what we, with questions are going to be here. And I also, at the end of this question period, everybody put your hands down 1 second, just so I can narrate. At the end of the question period, we do have a report also from all the actions that we can report that occurred in the executive session on the stream. Okay, now hands. Okay, here's the list that I got so far. George, Joe, and I, this side of the room, I just looked left first. So we have George, Joe, AC Bob, Lisa, now Margaret, and Carolyn, and Bonnie, and Sarge. Okay.
Stop.
I did not dock, I'm sorry. Who's Rob? Okay, again, I'm going to ask board members to please keep your, I don't want any, I'm asking you not to lecture, but to ask if that's going to be productive for this portion of the report. And if you're going to ask, don't make your questions longer than 4 pages. Thanks.
Madam Chair, point of information?
Yes.
How many minutes do we have left in this?
Oh, that's forget that. We are, I would say that for this entire section, even though we're running a couple hours late, that we have about a half an hour left.
Then I'd like to be added to the list, please.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, once again, George after George, Joe,
yeah.
AC, and then I'll.
One of the redundancies you didn't talk about, and I'm not sure how widespread is the network, is the redundancy in terms of development projects locally and it's how it fits into the national efforts to raise commendably on the order of $1 million or more. So two parts to that. One is what efforts are made to see to it that we're not double-hitting a donor base and that we're doing this sort of some coordinated way. And then the other question is, do you think, and I guess I would also ask this of Nicole, if she's here, do you think it would be useful to have either a full-time development director or a contract with some group for doing development, particularly in this coming up in this 60-year anniversary?
Thank you, George.
Let me answer the third one first. I do think that for a 60th anniversary for a network, we need an effective event planner that can work with the stations and coordinate what they're doing with whatever we might be doing nationally and the publicity and marketing of it. So critical. I don't think we can succeed doing 5 different efforts at 5 different stations. There's an awful lot involved. That would be the answer. A full-time director, before I advocated it, you know, I think 2 board meetings ago, but it turns out that the development director, the greatest need was at WBAI, because they were the ones that were affecting the finances of other stations as well. So I came to the view that better to get them a development director as opposed to hiring a national one where that effort would be diluted. You know, we needed it at I. Other stations could sort of manage. On the issue of whether or not there's siphoning away of donors from local station areas.
Well, more general coordination.
Coordination. Well, we coordinated well. There's 3 ways that we have coordinated. One is we've done a joint mailing and joint donor, please, with stations, KPFA. That's worked fairly well, although the suspicion never entirely went away that we're somehow stealing names from them. What we have done as a way of coordinating. If a donation comes to, say, KPFA, we give it to them and then vice versa. That way we keep the list straight. But we dedupe the lists. And generally, I can let them know and have let them know where donations are coming from outside a listening area. And we target 2 audiences, generally, donors outside a listing area, college towns mostly, and where we have affiliate stations. And the other one is these aforementioned progressive organizations like ACLU, Hightower List. I consider those fair game. They're on the list. We can mail to them. They may be giving to a station, but they're willing to give to us, so be it. And that's generally how. But we do dedupe against a local station's list, because remember, we're doing what we call acquisitions. They're not on anybody's list. And we do mostly acquisitions, although we have built up our own list over the years. So that's sort of how we work it.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, just a second. George had also asked for Nicole to comment. Nicole, I'd ask you to comment briefly.
Yeah, I just want to say development is not necessarily tied into finance.
Okay. Mike, we're recording and broadcasting.
I just want to say that development is not necessarily tied into finance, all right?
While it's married to it with regard to, you know, easing the bottom line, development is a really huge skill. And it's mostly tied into programming because it's a programmatic effort. You work a file, you make major donors certain other donors, and our stations already do a lot of mail. So here's a couple of thoughts about development and then how it ties into the 60th. First of all, we're self-competing. We're self-competing not only with our stations, and I've already heard, you know, that we don't even give them a heads up when we're dropping mail in their signal areas. We self-compete with our affiliates, because sometimes it goes out into the affiliates' listening ship as well. And they, out of the blue, suddenly, you know, get word, oh, Pacifica just got a mail drop. I heard this happened like 3 or 4 years ago on one of these big mail campaigns. When we do acquisition mail, it's probably about 44 cents right off the dollar. That every dollar that comes in is 44 cents out the door. It's a high cost. And in most development circles, I mean, if you read development theories right now, it's not about acquisition mail anymore. A lot of it is through viral marketing. A lot of it is through other sorts of marketing. Online is a huge underdeveloped area in Pacifica, online giving, just enormously undeveloped. And I also think that when we talk about the 60th anniversary campaign, let's really be grounded about that. Events, we've got too much magical thinking around events. It's great for, you know, visibility again and marketing. But what's the station, you know, what's the ask? And I really think that if we're going to use the 60th anniversary for anything, it should be for capital needs at each station, whether that's infrastructure, whether that's being able to hand off into a digital era, whatever that is. And each station has different capital needs. So it ties into capital, not just general operating. That's just not going to be sexy enough to get enough gifts and to make people say, what's unique about it? Why should I give?
Okay.
That's just my thoughts on development.
Thank you. Okay, Joe. And after Joe is AC, Bob, and Lisa.
Yeah, Lonnie, I had a few questions. I'll just lay them out. I'll try to make them as pointed as possible. On the election costs, do we know how much, and maybe it's in there, I just haven't seen it yet, how much was budgeted for the elections versus how much is actually spent? And what the reasons were for the cost overruns. And this is a view towards, you know, what can we learn from that for the next election. As you were talking about FSRN, I was wondering whether there's a breakdown of what the FSRN costs are. I mean, it's one thing, there are, you know, as you say, BAI, there's some fixed costs which are just objectively expensive. So it would be useful to first have a breakdown of what the FSRN costs are so we can assess what makes the most sense going forward. And it also occurred to me then if you could get some figures on what the costs are of the D.C. News Bureau, and similarly what the breakdown of those costs are. Nicole got into this a little bit. The question I had has to do with the direct with the mail drop, the direct mail. How much is spent on direct mail? You know, what is the rate of return? How much is made versus how much is spent? And how does that mechanism work? Who creates the mail drops and so forth?
Thanks, Joe.
Well, let's try to go over them. On the election side, in terms of what the budget was, it was $200,000. It's costing us now $320,000. And why? It's a good question. Why did we go over $120,000? Well, two answers. The first is that we hired an election supervisor way earlier than the budget called for. We're supposed to hire them in like May or June. Then the election supervisors locally were supposed to be hired thereafter. We hired him in April, way earlier. It was not in the budget. And he therefore hired his local station supervisors earlier, and he remained on our payroll for a full year. He was supposed to remain on it for 6 months. Doubled our cost for staffing.
Did the cost that you're telling us include the legal ramifications of his brilliant administration?
Yeah, that was my next point. The second reason was that the cost for not only his time, his staff, remember, we're paying travel. We're paying hotels. We're paying renting computers. We're talking not just the salary expenses or whatever. Also legal. That this figure includes what it cost us to have to reballot, what it cost us to to deal with litigation around the election. Now, the bill is not entirely in, but it is now $120,000 over. Free Speech Radio News, what is their cost? That is a frustration with Free Speech Radio News. They won't give us a budget. They won't tell us what the expenses are. They won't tell us who's employed. And we've asked. That was part of the so-called integration thing. So what I do and did is I go online and look at their 990s, which is to say, their annual report they have to do. But unfortunately, that runs a year behind, so I'm always a year behind. And they won't do it. I got one that I demanded when I first came in 2003, but I have nothing since then. Even in negotiations, they did not produce that information. And one of the problems, even with an integration idea, is they want to be editorially separate. They want total control. And, after a while, my dad said, "You're telling me that you're giving them $560,000 and you can't ask any questions about how it's been?" No, we can't do that. That doesn't make financial sense. So I don't know what their costs are, except what I can gather from the internet, the 990. The D.C. Bureau. Well, the cost for the D.C. Bureau, and I'd like to keep it vague, is going to run about $120,000 a year. Hard cost, which is to say, check out the door, cash. Soft costs, I don't have a clue right now. I have to go back and say, well, how much the space costs, how about telephone, direct mail, that question is how profitable is it? Well, I have produced a report for every mail drop we did up until the last September, and I did forward that to the Finance Committee. I'd be happy to share that information with folks. Yeah, the mail drops are profitable. They make money. That's why we do them. And there's no substitute for $3.7 million. That's a gross, and the net against it is about, we make about 40% return on it, because we have people out there that are supporting Pacifica. I'll just say that the idea that Pacifica is sort of a rundown and irrelevant network, I don't believe is true. I think there's some truth to it. But that is not the truth. There are many people that support Pacifica with the best kind of compliment you can get, a check. And they produced it. And there are people who don't know about us far more than people who don't like us, per se. The last point I'll make on the issue of our audience, and that's what we try to tap into at WPFW. 9 out of 10 people who listen to Pacifica never write a check, never join. We have not look to market to those people the way we need to. And you go, we only got a 10% sign-up rate. What about the other 90%? We haven't marketed to those folks. They already know who we are. They're just cheating and don't want to pay. But they're easier to get to than trying to do a 50% turnover rate every year attracting new people that never heard of you. So that's something we haven't really looked at as much as we need to.
Point of information. We're about 2 hours over the public comment period, and I've been asked to ask, when are we going to have public comment?
You know, I was asked that before we started this session. I thought that the public also would want the benefit of the financial report so that their comments might include that. It wasn't, my decision wasn't based on disrespect for your presence, but I thought it would be valuable for you guys to hear this. If we're not done in a half an hour, we're going to break and allow the public to comment then.
About one question per questioner. How about one question per person? I have four or five sometimes. So.
Okay. All right.
So
one, all right.
Just to follow up, then, Lonnie. So you do have hard numbers for the direct mail.
Yes, I
and
do.
You can get those to us.
Yes, I do. I had forwarded them, I guess, about 4 months ago to Finance Committee, and to, I think, LaVarne had made that request. I have that available.
Okay. You also get us the numbers on the cost of the national.
Yes, I did. I have those.
Okay.
I could put them up on screen if you need to.
Okay. One question, a member, please. AC?
Yeah. Go ahead. You have another question?
No, I don't. AC, I'm saying to the members now, one question. The public's been here, and a few of them are collapsing.
Yeah, it was my question. I did have two questions. Can I? But at any rate, let me go through with this.
I'm sorry. Can I just have a point of order, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Could we perhaps have a limit on the number of minutes we have as directors and then also
Margaret,
ask,
are you making a motion to limit directors to 1 minute?
And also ask that the answers be limited because if I could just say why.
Fine.
I mean, we do have,
you don't have
as
to
directors.
Say why. Everybody gets it. So is it 1 minute for the...
I mean, rather than just say one question.
What is the limit on the answers?
Well, it should be 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Like 2 minutes.
Okay. Margaret, seconded. Any objection?
No.
Hearing none. Okay. AC.
Yeah, my question about... I'm very concerned about this free speech radio issue because having sat on that committee that evaluated... Democracy Now, which we took several months doing that, and you just explained that you haven't heard anything from them since 2003, you say, that I think the board should demand to hear from them, and if they're not going to respond, then we don't respond by giving out any more money until we do hear everything. And certainly there's, unless I'm mistaken, there's no comparison between what Democracy Now! Provides for Pacifica and what free speech provide. I mean, I'd like to hear, the distinction there, and I'd like to move that some action be taken to deal with that. I want to reserve the right to promote a resolution if... after we hear from the CFO on that.
Lonnie.
Well, I think purely for financial reasons and financial transparency reasons, we need to know what's going on, and we do need some sort of motion to move this off the dime. We've been messing with this since I got here in 2003 and no forward motion. So I would welcome a motion from the board.
Okay. With all good, with all due respect. First of all, it's apples and oranges. Democracy Now! Is not a news program. It's really a public affairs program with great news headlines in it. And it was born out of us. FSRN is a whole different animal. On top of that, we have affiliates that carry it, just like they carry Democracy Now! And, FSRN is a news show. Now, I've been in conversation since the day I came in about no editorial control over this. No financial control over this. I read the 990s when I was doing due diligence on all of you guys before I took the job. The 990s are there. And you know what? It says 1929 Martin Luther King Jr. Way. That's where they're actually, the address on the 990s to the IRS. Y'all ought to read your 990s and what's posted on the website. So, we are in the process of looking at morphing FSRN. But now you're dealing with talent, you're dealing with news, you're dealing with anchors, you're dealing with 1099, you're dealing with a lot of issues. It is not so clear-cut that the board can just say, go do something. And I've been trying to work on this from the beginning. But we're just beginning to have a conversation. We've put together already a team.
to look at morphing the news show. But also, this involves what I see as a bit of a conflict of interest, because you have ex-PMB members now involved in FSRN, you have LSB members involved. I mean, it's murky, murky, murky. So the best thing we can do is, you know, let staff come together with a program, staff that knows news, staff that actually does programming, and, you know, really look at all these different ancillary projects we got on, got going.
Time. Thank you. Bob?
Two questions. On the 2003 uptake in income that you said then produced a lot more staff expenses and starting new shows, if you can just generally break down that, if you have it with you now, as to what amount, what percentage of staff increases at which stations, and also what new shows. I know of Informativo Pacifica, which was 2006. We could say how much that annual budget is. There's From the Vault. I don't know of any other new shows nationally that have been launched. And then the second question is, when you said to this day no one knows how many station bank accounts are active, why can't you just ask the GMs and the business managers and give you a straightforward answer?
Okay, thank you, Bob. Under a minute.
Let's see, what was the question about? The
first one.
Yeah.
The new staff that were hired after the upsurge in income in
2003. Yeah, you have
what percentage?
Yeah, you have staff surges at a couple of the stations.
Quantities?
Yeah, you had, as I think I'm looking at, when I got here, KPFT had 6 full-time staff. When I got here, there were 45 at KPFA. Now there's 52, 53. When I got here, we were spending $60,000 on national programming. We're not going to get, we have a budget of $144,000. When I say programming, I'm including national shows as well. You know, hearings, that sort of thing.
Specials.
Yeah, specials, right. Okay. So our budget has gone up. Yeah.
Not ongoing weekly shows.
Well, I'm not a radio guy, but I call it programming, whatever. Yeah, it's programming. Yes, we have increased the amount we spend on programming and hearings and shows, yes. We did, what was the other one that Kit Guma did?
Informed Dissent.
Those were new shows. That show cost $60,000. So, yeah.
Every penny.
Yeah, they're expensive. Well, FSRN, whatever. FSRN, you know.
No, you were talking about new shows.
Yeah. There were increased
expenses.
We used
to have a daily news for $1 million a year.
Oh, yeah.
Discontinued in 2000.
Yeah, we were still paying for that in 2004. It was $1 million it cost to do that show.
Okay, and the local bank accounts?
Yeah, the local bank accounts. Yeah, some of them are, some of them aren't. But I'm talking about being able to reproduce that historically. That is, when I go back and say, well, what were the bank accounts? People's memories are fuzzy, and I don't know. And nobody can really, who knows? So that makes a problem in the books, because you don't know where certain funds went. If the bank accounts associated with them, no one can remember.
So it's only past that you don't know. You know the current bank.
Well, there's two issues. On the past, yes, I don't know. And nobody's offering that information. If some of you do know, let me know. It'll help me fill in some gaps in these books. The other one is for current bank accounts. There, I have created a chart that says which stations that I am aware of, their bank accounts that I can check, which ones I do not and not aware of. I've created a whole chart on that. And I've talked to finance committee people about, yeah, we need to know.
Your time.
We need to know as much as we can know.
Lisa.
Actually, that's okay. I defer.
You can go on somebody. Oh, okay. Do you want to be off the list permanently? Okay. Oh. Margaret.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Lonnie. And I think out in the real world, it is really recognized how difficult a job it is in terms of controlling and financing and CFO jobs, not only in Pacifica, but I think generally. Having said that, I'm hearing a lot on the staff level and also the LSB level of people who are really having trouble with, basically people are complaining about financial transparency, of saying it's really hard for people to get a sense of what is going on at their local station level, but also nationally, and then they get contradictory information, as you know, has happened at KPFK, and then naturally it's very, very upsetting and demoralizing, in particular when people have worked hard, you know, at fundraising. And one example, I mean, I myself myself sometimes have trouble following, you know, information, so that when we get information in terms of reports, you know, it's useful to know the net, not only the gross, for example, you know, to bring out that kind of information. And on the 1099 stuff that has happened, I don't know if you could comment on that now, but it's a question of how did that happen or who signed off on it. The other question I have in terms of the news programming, and we do have to look at that, and I think Nicole has indicated there's some work done on it, but I see that the Spanish language news was on that list, and I don't know that we can include Spanish language news in the list of all of the English speaking news.
You're at time, Margaret, for your question.
Right, so that was the other thing, if you saw that as a, you know, unique thing, or if you're just including that in the whole pile. Thank you.
Yeah, I do see Spanish language as unique. And remember, we went through an intensive planning process around it, and it was fully supported, and there was a board motion around it, and it took two or three years to generate. So I do fully support it. On the 1099 issue, your question is, how did it happen? Well, the person that put the ad in the paper added, without authorization, benefits as hoping to attract a person to the position. We found out about it after the fact, and then we're moving to correct it. But I think that's happened, and as far as I'm aware, of only one time before. So it's not something that's rampant. I would not want to give that impression. On the issue of clarity, a person at KPFK put out the $400,000 deficit of $550,000, you know, conflating the $400,000 savings, which indeed had been extinguished, with a current deficit, $150,000, coming up with $550,000 or whatever the number came out to be. Yeah, that was not coming from the national office. It is something that should not have been done. The way I understand it, that the business manager had left it there, having it in a document, and that it was given out inappropriately, creating confusion that way. But I guess, as I said, it's simply inaccurate information. It's conflating history with current financial situation.
Thank you. Carolyn?
Thank you. Lonnie, I have one question about WBAI. Sorry. We, in 2005 or 6, I think we paid back everything we owed, and we started out with a clean slate. And you said we owed now $600,000. Is that cumulative since 2002, or is that accumulated only since 2006 when we had a clean slate?
Yeah.
Is that all brand new? And the other corollary to that is the new general manager, Tony Riddle, has identified quite a few areas that will be cut, and in an attempt to keep from affecting the staff negatively, either by firings or cutbacks. And have you factored that into it? And when is the next meeting, either committee meeting or work group or whatever, at which these things will sort of come to a head? I'm sorry, that's three questions, Sherry. I'll sneak them in there.
Lucky I can't count.
The past debt was accumulated since 2006. Yeah, it went real fast. That's why it was shocking. And it was hard to control because it happened so fast. And it was all connected with mostly legal and a structural deficit that had been in place for a while. It just caught up. Yeah, you remember it was the revenue dropped. Remember, at one point, WBI was producing $2.9 million. Now they dropped to $2.7 million. So if you do that 2 years in a row, you're at $400,000 deficit already. That's what happened to WBI. Remember, that was one point they missed drive by $250,000. Well, that didn't go away, you know. It just kept on rolling through the books.
And the budget was not
changed. They weren't able to reduce the budget by $250,000. That was one drive. One drive dropped. It was down by 250. Yeah, that was real tough.
Madam Chair, I would like to move that we stop now to let the public, those who need to speak, that they speak now, and then we can continue.
Second.